Big shout out to our amazing sponsors, Outlaw Distillery. Looking for exceptional spirits to elevate your taste buds? Well, look no further than Outlaw Distillery. With their extraordinary spice rum and honey bourbon gracing the shelves of liquor stores, your drinking experience is about to reach new heights. And here's the best part. Outlaw Distillery is opening its doors to all you adventurous souls. Join the tour and step inside the lair where the magic happens. From the art of distillation to the secrets behind their mouth-watering recipes, this is a chance to witness craftsmanship at its finest. Here's a little something extra for our family. Outlaw Distillery is offering an incredible 40% discount on all tours. Just use the code FAMILY when booking your visit to the Spirited Haven. It's an experience you will not want to miss. Not only does Outlaw Distillery excel in crafting top-notch spirits, but they also believe in giving back to their community. So, if you're ready to taste the adventure and embrace the allure of finely crafted spirits, head to your nearest liquor store and grab a bottle of Outlaw Distillery. And remember, the best is yet to come when you step inside Outlaw Distillery with the exclusive Framily discount. Cheers to thrilling libations and unforgettable memories. See you at Outlaw. Shout out to our sponsors, King's Peak Coffee Roasters. At King's Peak, they take coffee seriously. Their beans are sourced with utmost care from sustainable farms worldwide, ensuring that each sip is a celebration of exquisite flavors. From captivating blends to captivating single origin roasts, their coffee selection promises to tantalize your taste buds and elevate your coffee game to new heights. King's Peak staff embodies the spirit of hospitality and passion for coffee. With smiles that brighten your day, they're always ready to guide you on an unforgettable coffee journey. From bean selection to brewing techniques, their knowledgeable baristas will happily share their expertise to help you find your perfect cup. King's Peak is committed to making a positive impact on the entire coffee supply chain. With every purchase, you're supporting farmers and artisans, enabling sustainable practices and empowering communities around the globe. Together, we're nurturing a brighter, more inclusive future for everyone involved. Whether you're a coffee aficionado or a curious newcomer, King's Peak is your welcoming sanctuary. Explore their wide array of coffees, accessories, and gifts, and let King's Peak help you find the perfect fit for your unique taste. They're not just a coffee shop, but a community that embraces the joy of coffee and human connection. Join us at King's Peak Coffee Roasters, where coffee dreams come true. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. Oh, damn. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here in the heart of Squatters downtown. Or excuse me, we don't call it Squatters anymore. Salt Lake City Brewing Company. Salt City Brewing Company.
SLCBC?
LCBC? SCBC? But this is Jason Stock's home grounds. This is where we are, and I'm with one of my dear friends, one of our dear friends in the family. Joe Mastroco, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing awesome. And I've been lately just focusing on people, heavy hitters in our industry that aren't necessarily showcased. So typically, I feel like there's certain platforms like myself that want to hear talked about, you know, talk to the head distillers or head brewers or distillers. But there's more behind the scenes. Last week's episode, we dropped Bradley Judge, who's a production manager, one of the production managers in Wasatch, Squatters and Wasatch Co-op, right?
Co-op, yeah.
And so it's fascinating to see different views in the world of fermentation.
Sure.
And you've kind of moved forward to a different role in fermentation. So why we're cracking this beer open, there's a special beer behind this. So right now, currently, Joe, you work for Roy Farms, right?
Yeah, Roy Farms Hops out of Moxie, which is Yakima Valley, Washington. I've been there for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So getting prepared for my second harvest. I had been to harvest before.
As a brewer?
I was not a part of the selection team. I was happened to be up there for sales, and I met the brewing team over there. Okay. You know, but I got to see some of it, but not what I saw last year.
So you got to talk to me about this, the harvest, dude.
It's It's kind of like camp for brewers. It's fun. It is a blast, and it's just 30 days ish. You basically start around the 28th. We might be a little earlier this year. And we at Roy Farms ended about the 27th of September. Sorry, August 28th to September 28th, right. Ballpark. Some might go a little earlier, a little later, but basically the month of September. And so everyone's there. Brewers from around the world, brewers from the U.S., a lot of friends. I connected with people I hadn't seen in a couple of years.
That's awesome.
And kind of just the day-to-day is we'll start at about 7 in the morning at the farm.
Easy.
The farm goes 24 hours.
Oh, shit.
For
30 days straight?
For 30 days. They got two or three crews, and it's 30 days straight. We took one day off last year for about a half a day, 12 hours, because there was a potential smoke rain event, which 2021 year we had some smoke.
Yeah.
And that kind of was industry-wide, but we'll get through that. But yeah, 24 hours a day. So me and Andy Roy, who is he's part of Roy Farms. He's the fifth generation. Him and his brother Mike are kind of taking over for their father. There's other people involved, but Andy's who I deal with the most, and then the rest of our sales team, Jason, Ted. We're there about 7, and we're loading trucks for like Seattle Brewers or Portland Brewers or Lehigh Brewers.
Right. We took it that last year.
Well, yeah. And so basically people were there early because they want to get the majority of what I'm talking about. This is wet hops. So this is hops that are picked. And before they go to drying and the kilns, people take those hops and brew with it. It's pretty common.
It's like an annual kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wet hop beers.
People listening to this know what I'm talking about. But so the majority of those wet hop beers are Portland and Seattle and other surrounding areas.
So lucky.
That are about 3 hours away because they're brewing that same day.
Yeah.
Now, Derek, he drove 10 hours straight, and I think he got smashed in at like midnight or what?
He left at 7-ish or 6-ish, 5-ish, something. He left in the morning.
Yeah.
He drove straight through. He dropped off the hops. They sat in the Bewildered cooler for like a few hours. And then we mashed in. I was up in early at 6 a.m. mashing in. And we made two beers with the same hops in Springville and Lehigh. So I was mashing in one beer, the same beer. And Julie was mashing in the same beer. And it was a beer I made. It was a pale ale, my first ever wet hop beer. We call it the Cowestrata.
Yeah.
And we put the fresh stratas in there. And oh my God, it was so fun. And then Libby, once a year, she's trying to make this annual wet hop, fresh hop beer fest.
Sure.
And we had all these, you know, we had Level Crossings, TFs, I think Fishers. We had all these wet hop beers that were just phenomenal. But yeah.
When was that? I wasn't around.
I think it was August, September. So it was the end of September.
Yeah, I think I was still at Harvest because I hope to be back for that this year.
Or November. I'll let you know. I think it's either late in September, early November.
Okay.
But it was beautiful. I mean, some of the beers, they have aged on it because, you know, the wet hop beers, you want to drink them then, make
right
them
away,
then.
Yeah.
But, man, it was so cool. And that was my first time ever. Well, Derek has some, he has some in his garden where we made some, like, 3 years ago, my first time ever, we picked them off the garden and threw them in the mash on a little 5-gallon system.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
But doing it large scale, it was a pain in the ass, but it was so worth it.
Yeah, and that was part of Wet and Wild at Uinta, which was our annual beer when I was there. Annual wet hop here. And so I got to see the process on that end. Those hops were flown in, I believe.
Damn.
So we'll send hops to Minnesota and Florida and around the country, but it is.
We
try not to fly them. We try to have people pick up. But last year, a couple of people really wanted to do it and they were willing to pay. And
yeah.
I mean, the hops themselves are cheap. I mean, cheaper than pellets, right? Because you're cutting out a bunch of process. It's just like here and go, and you know, there's no packaging, there's no there's no kilning, there's no cooling, there's no pelletizing.
So. Well, it was funny. Derek was sending videos the whole time. He was taking the tours and whatnot, and seeing all the vines and the machines that rip them apart. And I just was blown away.
Well, I actually built like a, I PowerPoint presentation. It's real terrible, but I build it to like show people that have never been to Harvest, so like basically the whole process.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I need to, I looked at it about a month ago. And I was like, oh, I'll need to get a video of that this year.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool to see, cause there's a couple different picking process. And we have a couple different plants, or picking plants. So, but yeah, basically after we load those wet hops, we brewers start showing up 9-10 o'clock and they're there till 4 or 5 o'clock.
Damn.
We do tour selection for those who want to do selection. And then a really cool part that we try to take advantage of the brewers at is, so we have a breeding program that was formerly the ADHA and now is Latitude 46, which at CBC you saw the new, that was kind of the debut of that.
Oh, gotcha.
But that's run by Megan and Jamie and their team. It's a couple other farms are involved, but it's on our, they're on their plant and all of their pick facility is at our farm. And so they have their single hills, and a single hill is basically two vines of a hop strain that there's probably thousands of those. And those go through a process every day. We sensory those, and it might be 5, 6, 10 of them. And so we put brewers through some of that too.
Oh, sick.
And so maybe not to the single hills, but like this, the hops that after 2 or 3 years, I think it's maybe 3 years, they then go on to like development phase. And that's about another 3 or 4 years. Those are what you guys would smell because we weed out some of the ones that we don't like. Okay. And so it's just getting feedback. And so a couple of those have become Adina, Pico, Azaka, Summit. That has all come from that breeding program.
That's cool.
And Adina's a hop. I mean, if anyone listening knows that I talk about Adina all the time.
It's all Adina. All Adina.
Well, I mean, it fits into styles of beer that I I like to drink. And so Pilsner, Blonde Ales, kind of lighter styles. It's a lower alpha acid. And it's, you know, it's not a noble hop by any means, but it's the American attempt at low alpha. So. Yeah.
And it's beautiful hop.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good in beers.
Yeah.
So then we open one with your guys' beers. This is a collaboration between Roy Farms, Straptink, and Proximity Malt.
Yes. So,
Joe, walk us through this this process, this beer. What's special about this beer?
So it's a single malt, single hop. Sorry about that. Single malt, single hop, and thialized yeast. Mm-hmm. So it's Proximity's Pilsner malt. It's our Strata.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember the strain.
It's called Lunar Crush.
Lunar Crush.
Yeah.
And so Strata historically will give a real berry note, strawberry specific, and then you'll get some dankness. And when I tasted this a week ago or so, it was guava.
Yeah.
There is a berry note, less dank on this. But what I liked about it is I get like a real nice cereal note from the malt, which sometimes that thiol yeast will really just push the fruit. And so I thought it's really balanced and really clean and dry. I enjoy this. It's really drinkable.
It's been evolving ever since Derek or the team.
It's changed since a week ago.
When I put it into the Bright Tank and I had a taste, you know, sensory it real quick, I got nothing but pear. And I've never gotten pear off a Pilsner before.
Sure.
Or a hoppy lager, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm sitting there like, what? Pear from Strata? Like I remember Derek was going to a festival. He stopped by and go, listen, I know you're in a hurry, but you got to go smell that beer right now. And I just remember his face going, the fuck?
It was just. Yeah, I've seen that face before.
But it's, we call it three on the tree. And that was Jeremiah. His shout out to the Strap Tank / old school legends.
That was three people that worked at UINA all at one point. So, yeah, Jeremiah worked with me on a sales team. He was our Texas rep, and then he moved to Proximity.
Three years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So when I got into this hop supply game, immediately reached out to him and Got a lot of connections through him in different markets. And even here, some people I've introduced him to, and some people who, you know, when you're on the brewery side, you don't get to every brewery, you know? Mm-hmm. And at least I didn't at this stage of my life. You know, if I was able to go out, I was going to support an account that had you in a beers.
Yeah.
I still went to the breweries that were close to me, but maybe I didn't get to every one of them. And that's been a real fun part for me now, is getting out and seeing as many of the brewers.
Yeah, and I feel like you have had a nice Utah connection that's helped you. Like, you're known, Joe. I mean, you're known about. It kind of helped you solidify Utah as a home base in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years in the industry. I left for a brief period, but yeah, since I was 22 years old, I've been in the beer industry.
So let's talk about it, since you're bringing it up. So 22, how did you get into the industry?
So I often tell this story. When I was 17, the guidance counselor, you know, interview.
Oh, I cannot wait for this story.
She was kind of a family friend, and so I knew her, you know, friends of my parents, and great lady. But she was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, professional golf or a brewer. And she's like, you're not on the golf team. You play football and volleyball and basketball. What do you mean? I was like, well, I like golf. And she's like, she knew I was probably putting it on, but she goes, brewing, we can help you with that.
No way. Where at? Where was this at?
This is in Western Pennsylvania. Dairy is my town, not D-E-R-R-Y, not like dairy, although there's dairies there. Pretty rural place. But the next town over is Latrobe, which is where Rolling Rock was, and tons of family. Tons of family and friends did work there, like some uncles, and we would go there on like high school trips.
Sick.
It's like here, picture taking a group of high schoolers to a brewing facility, but it's a production. Like, you wouldn't think about taking them to a bread facility, right? So it's similar. So I said that, and she's like, all right, well, put me in touch. And she's like, chemical engineering. That wasn't going to be something I was going to study in college. I mean, I was a smart kid, good grades and everything, but sure. I was like, that seemed tough. Like, because I have a brother who's an engineer, and I was like, boy, he's different.
I'm different.
So I went to school, studied business, but I'd like to say that I drank every beer I possibly could. I know, like that. That's like fun, but I also was like, hey, I'd never heard of Brooklyn Brown Ale,
okay,
or Saranac or Ithaca, and even Rolling Rock and some of the smaller breweries around Pittsburgh, Church Brew Works. They were making, Church Brew Works was a full on craft beer brewery, but Rolling Rock had small batch releases that were like better lagers than the Rolling Rock that was mass-produced, Schwartz beer, some amber lagers. So I kind of just was exposed to this stuff, and I exposed myself to it. I would take beer appreciation classes at college, not like for credit, but they would have it as like one-offs. And I just tried to homebrew a little bit.
At what age?
So college, 20,
gotcha.
21, 22.
Did you start with like a Mr. Beer kid?
Yeah, just one of those kids. It didn't. It was fine. It was with a buddy. And then, so I played some sports in college, and I was like, didn't ski. And then I had a friend that was here, my brother, his friend. So I came out and kind of crashed at their basement when I was all done, skied. And she's like, hey, do you want to work at a brewery? I was like, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And she happened to be good friends with Will Hamill. And so she introduced me, and they're like, I'm like, hey, I'll be your sales guy. And they're like, we have that. There were six people that worked at UN at that point. But they said, we don't have anything right now, but call me back, I don't know, a couple months later. And I actually went back home and was going to work with our family had grocery business. And so I was going to do that. And then they called me, and I drove out here. Yep.
Whoosh. How long is that?
Like you can do it. You can do it in 30 hours, but
2 day trip.
Two day trip. And then it was Mark Allen actually who called me. I don't know if you ever remember him, but he was production manager. You went to two different stints, one in the early days and one in the you know, the larger days. But he called me. He's like, hey, I got a job for you. Bottle line. I almost said canning line. Bottle line, keg line. So drove out here for $7 an hour job.
And, nice.
And just worked my way up. I was a brewer. And then I was sort of like warehouse manager, production manager, not to a high level. I mean, it was smaller time then. And so I did that. And then I just, I kind of had an opportunity to go get into sales for, beverage Pepsi. I sold Pepsi for a little bit. And then I tried to open my own business sort of in the vein of the grocery business. Like I wanted to kind of do like a bodega-ish thing. Okay. But that was not in the right time. That was 2008. So it was.
Oh, great time.
Yeah. And so Steve Kuftenek also, at that point, was a partner of Will. He called me up. And the Pittsburgh Penguins are playing in the Stanley Cup final. And I thought he was like calling to like talk shit on Penguins because, you know, he and I always had a rivalry sports. And he was like, I didn't answer it because it was in the middle of a game. So I call him back next day. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, trying to figure some things out. I think I had a couple jobs at that point. Maybe it was in a sales job. And he's like, how about you come back and work for us? And so that was I started in late 2008.
Cool.
Maybe 2009. And so then that was the last 14, 15 years.
So did you go back during that span to Pennsylvania?
No. I was here. I was married at the time. And my wife is based here, or you know, from here. So
when did you meet your wife in this timeline? She's not listening.
No, 2004. I think it might have been 2005 when University of Pittsburgh played University of Utah in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
She was at grad school, law school at DU, and I had graduated from Pitt. One of my buddies said, why don't you go down to the game? And I met her there. So
no way. Yeah. That's really cool. When did you guys get hitched?
It's about 2 years later.
Nice.
Yeah. 2006.
So then bounced around doing these jobs, and when you told your wife, hey, I'm going back to Uinta, what'd she say?
She said, good, you'll be happier.
Nice.
Because I didn't lose that passion for beer, you know.
Were you burnt out, or was it just you wanted to start something else? You wanted to...
When I had left Uinta?
Yeah, the first time.
I saw a writing on the wall that I wasn't going to be a master brewer. Maybe I could have been a production side of things. But I saw the writing on the wall. I need to be talking to people about
because you've used that multiple times, the word sales. I mean, I know with your counselor, you said, I want to make beer or be a golfer. But have you always been a salesman? You've always been a salesperson? Is that your personality?
So
your charm?
Growing up in the family business, it's customer service, which is what sales is. And so that was our, you know, I always had that. And that was my dad was that. And the gift of being able to talk to people was probably more for my mom. But that was always something that I thought I would do.
So then I'm taking a stab at this, but I'm assuming right now you're pretty fucking happy being at Roy Farms.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I got to see a meteoric rise of craft beer in that 09 to 2018. And got to build Uinta to
where it is now.
Yeah.
You were part of that, Joe.
It was actually a little bigger.
Really?
And then we scaled back, in that time when, you know, there was probably no business you went to selling beer in Florida. And so kind of scaled back and righted that ship. I was not seeking to leave Uinta. I had talked to a recruiter a couple times, was introduced to a guy, and he called me up one day. He's like, hey, I have an opportunity. It might be perfect for you. You don't have to be a brewer or have a brewing background. I was like, well, you know, I was a brewer. And he was like, no kidding. He couldn't tell me what it was with. And he called me back like an hour later. Like, they want to interview you. And so met with Andy, another guy, Jason, and then like HR. And I immediately, I think on that call said, hey, I don't really drink IPAs anymore. I just drink Pilsner. And they're like, we're kind of the same. Like, you know, I mean, we all kind of, we still drink hoppy beers. And I drink tons. The couple beers that I brought today are hop forward beers. But it was kind of just the breaking of the ice. And so, yeah, it just went well. And then I went up there and met that team. And I had talked to some local people here who had experience with them and well regarded. And it just was the right opportunity, right time. And yeah, it's been awesome, man.
Hell yeah.
Get to do stuff like that. I mean, I got to do stuff like this in other facets as well. But I love to talk about beer and enjoy beer. And so it's just another avenue to be involved.
Because I haven't thought about it how if you're not a brewer, you're not in the beer scene. That's how I used to see that, right?
For sure.
If you're not making it, you're not talking about it. But that's not true. That's why, you know, talking about production, like they have to make sure it tastes the same. The whole life and longevity of the beer has to be the same. And then your end, you're fighting or you're kind of like the bartender for the world in a way where you are the front line of defense between the brewer, the team, the family that made the product, and the consumer.
Sure.
Like I gotta, hey, you guys produce good shit, like keep it going, don't fuck it up, and then I will sell this so I can get it out there.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have good juice, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there's tons of great salespeople out there. And look, I don't ever really consider myself a salesperson. I kind of consider myself more just like somewhat education, somewhat just being there for you. What I would say, what I'm trying to do at Roy Farms is what I was at Uinta. I know that I think I'm well-liked. I know there's probably some people don't like me, but I want to be the first call. And I want to be the first call when you needed beers or wanted to talk about beers. And I want to be the first call when you needed hops. Damn. Now, I don't have every hop either.
Sure.
But
you have resources.
We got resources.
And that's kind of like where this little growing experience in my brewing career is where I'm at is – I'm probably well liked by most. I'm hated by some. That's fine.
Sure.
But people can reach out to me. And I
said sure, like as if like yeah, of course.
I know people.
I got a list.
You can have people where they know they can reach out to me and I can send them that way. Or if I don't know the answer,
sure.
Because you know things are going to change here soon in the industry. I mean, always evolving, always changing. And someone asked me the question the other day: are you ready to take on your next chapters? Like, are you ready to move? Are you ready to do different things? And I go, yeah. Because I'm loved and sponsored by a great family. Like I can go ask anyone for anything.
Sure. Yeah, that being ready for the next step is, you said chapter. That probably went through my mind is the moment I started talking about leaving Uinta, which I was there for a total of 16 years over about a 19, 18 years.
That's a long time, Joe.
And I was not, wouldn't say I was going through the motions, right? But maybe a touch. And so, you know, it just, this invigorated me and got me excited again. And not that I wasn't excited, you know what right. I'm saying. It just was, and so that change is fun. It's scary, but it's fun.
Yeah, because I think I was learning where nervousness and excitement come from the same part of the brain. So anytime you're nervous, just say you're excited.
Sure.
And it's the same hormone, same gland.
I get it. Yeah.
So
yeah.
My wife and I call each other out. I'm so nervous. No, you're excited. And you sit there and you're like, in your mind, you're like, fuck you, but you're a fuck you. But it's cool to see, because I met you on your transition going to Roy Farms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then CBC, I was able to meet the sales team, which I love those guys. And yeah, then to meet Andy Roy, who I think him and I are best friends right off the gate.
That's Andy.
I love. First time meeting Andy, I'm dressed in my onesie, my romper, and you're like, this is David. And he goes, I could tell. I loved every second of it.
He's great, man. The whole crew. And you know, what's neat is like, Brandon from Hollenberry, or Barbara, from Haas, like, and I just picked those two cause I seen them recently, but it's like the beer sales, you know, like I was friends with all the other reps. I think maybe some, like we said, some didn't love me, but yeah, it's, it's a cool group of people.
Yeah.
And yeah, I want it to be Roy Farms hops in beers, but I still drink a lot of other beers too.
It's fascinating to see that because I want to see Breeze malt in certain malts, but I'm not going to sit here and shit on Proximity.
You know, sure.
Everyone's got good products. Everyone does a certain product you can't get somewhere else and vice versa. So it's kind of like the hop game.
Sure.
It's like, you know, Barth Hawes, they got some good shit, but like you can't provide it, but you got some stuff that you can't get anywhere else, you know? And you can't, we're still one big family. Like the hops is still, there's four ingredients to beer.
Yeah.
And hops is one of them. And we need to respect the whole game, the whole gambit of it, the whole family.
Sure.
And it's so cool because I can't wait to go to Harvest because that's like a bucket list thing.
It's really cool. It's in, so I didn't really kind of finish. As brewers are finishing up sensory, maybe not at noon, but the second half group that are finishing up around 4 or 5, we have a bar on site that has generally beers from people that produced with our beers, some of which were picked up 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago and brought back and put on tap.
Cool.
And then everyone that comes brings beer. So we provide that for people and it ends up being a hang. So it might be like, hey, there's some guys from Strap Tank and there's some guys from Big Oyster, which is a brewery back east. And there's guys from Von Ebert in,
Vermont, right?
No, Portland.
Portland.
And then, all over, all over town. So I'd have my Montana people, some Utah people, Arizona. That's kind of the areas that I cover, Colorado, Idaho, Wyoming, and New Mexico. And so, it's just fun to have that. And it's very communal at that point.
Yeah. That camaraderie is just something you can't put a price on. Sure. I mean, it's just, I don't know. You're trying to explain it to someone who's not in the industry, they just don't understand. Or it's hard to gently tell them, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And like even the misses, I know we have, I think everyone who has a partner that's not in the beer scene, it's hard to explain that.
Yeah. I think it's none of us are making $1 billion doing this. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And when you're at Harvest, that is the epitome of the lifestyle.
Oh man.
And then after all that, there's an opportunity to go to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 great breweries in Yakima. And I will say this. I think there was, while there were as the, 50% of the world's hops are coming out of Washington, right? I'm not exact on that, but it's something along those lines. There weren't really great breweries in the Yakima Valley. There are now.
Really?
Yeah, there's some really great
breweries. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yep, there's some great breweries up there that are worth drinking.
So now that you've been drinking these beers, are you going back to drinking IPAs?
So I would say a bit. My kind of drinking habit would be you would give me this like you brought. I would drink that. That would be the start of my night. And then I'd probably just check it down to something like, or if we're all out somewhere, yes, then I'm going to try a couple IPAs and then I'll settle in on a Pilsner, a craft Pilsner, right? Or, a lighter lager, a Kolsch, like all those. I still drink a ton of lime Pilsner. People joke about that. I drink a lot of that beer.
It's a good beer.
Yeah.
Shout out to our sponsor, Sugar House Distillery. Handcrafted from grain to glass, Sugar House has been grinding for years to bring us products that are quality over quantity. Just to name a few, their single malt whiskey, rye whiskey, which is our weekday jam, their Boilermaker series, which is a rotating collab within our family, and their canned cocktails, which are so damn good and great for any to-go adventures you have this year. Located in most liquor stores across Utah, or just head over to the distillery located on 2212 South West Temple, Monday through Friday. Tell them we sent you, and they'd love to give you a tour and possible tasting. When you think Sugar House Distillery, think local and made with love. Until the next spirit, my friends. Shout out to our sponsors, Clearwater Distilling. Utah County's only distillery is turning heads and quickly making a name for themselves. From whiskey to vodka, their unique innovation transforms the norm with incredible products like their Rene Armagnac, which is an aged French Armagnac with an American rye whiskey twist. Literally one of our favorite showcasers. Or their Scandalous, which is not like Fireball. It's an actual whiskey with quality cinnamon without any sugary taste. Also, Clearwater teams up to do a monthly cigar pairing where you come and get educated on how to properly smoke a cigar while pairing with Clearwater's lovely spirits. For more information, head to clearwaterdistilling.com, hit them up on all social media platforms, or just message us and we'll get you started on the right path. Open 7 days a week, even on holidays, Clearwater is a must. See you there. Until the next spirits, my friends. So you brought some other beers, right?
I did.
I got to know what you brought. You have a whole medley.
I do.
Not just beers, too.
We are covering the gamut here. I'll just put them all out, and we can decide what we want.
Hot damn.
So I grabbed some beers that, the first beer we had Roy Farms as well. But the three that I brought, it was nice to stop by and see a couple people last week that gave me these beers. But so first I have Red Rock Zonkey, which is a Strata IPA.
Zonkey, huh?
Yeah. This is a brand new beer from them. It's 8.5%. It's not brand new, but within the last year.
Yeah.
I've really been enjoying that, but it's a one and done for me. When we get up over 8%, 7.5, I'll do one and then check it down.
I think 7.5 is a good like.
Yep. Yeah. But it's really cool. This, while the Thiel did a lot more to the Strata, this is a little more traditionally what you're looking for. Gecko Fingers is from Bewilder. Cody grabbed me a couple of these. Eldorado, CTZ, and Crystal. And the Eldorado is from us. The Strata, and this is from us. I like this Gecko Fingers. It's 7.5, I think. Oh, I got to see here. Sorry. This is up over 8. What was I drinking? Oh, the Brew Lab that they released last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. That's in the 7 range, 6.5, 7.
Did that have Strata in it? No, I had a...
No, Sabro and...
Vista.
Yeah, Sabro's us. Well, not us, but I got him that. But the Vista, not through us. That's a cool hop. I like it. And that was a good beer. I enjoyed that last week. And then the third beverage that I brought is a dry hop cider from our friends over at Mountain West. Marcio grabbed me a couple of these, and they're using our Citra and our Strata, and then there's Lupa Max, which is like a T45, the condensed pellet of Mosaic. So what do you want?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm curious about the IPA, the Zonkey. So yeah. I haven't had that one, but that's how traditional Strata is, and we have two because that wasn't thialized yeast, right?
No.
So I think it'd be cool to see what thialized yeast will do to Strata versus what it won't do to Strata, or like a normal yeast, right?
Sure.
So I'm actually very curious.
Yeah, this is an enjoyable beer.
Salud, Joe. Thank
salud.
You. See, that smells like I opened a bag.
Yeah. But I mean, it's pretty well defined as berry, strawberry, little tank, almost like that, like sweetened candy.
See, this is what, when we made the wet hop beer, when it was, not to say this is old, but when it was, the wet hops get older, it kind of changes, and that's the flavor I'm getting. It's reminding me of that beer we made.
Yeah, I like this.
I unfortunately like your Strata a lot.
Well, we're the only Washington grower, so that comes out of Indy Farms. And we partner with them to be the Washington grower of it. And I think we've done a good job of getting it out there. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Somebody just brewed but I don't think it was our Strata. It was not here. But it was a hoppy lager with Strata, but not thialized like this. And it was really, really tasty, and right in that 5% range.
Perfect.
So, brewers, who wants to do that? I'll help you out.
I like, because with the 5%, we're making the draft beer. That's that thialized yeast. It kind of helps promote. It's like drinking these beautiful beers our family's made, but a lower percent, and I respect that. I like that. I like how Utah is so honed back where we can make low percentage beers very well.
Sure.
And this is, I mean, we have examples right here. I mean, you got the nose. I like, I think this is a, one of the better Red Rock beers I've had in quite some time. IPA, anyway.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying.
I'm getting pineapple on that.
All right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Have you had Monkey Minds from them? It's I like that beer too. That's a newer.
That one's also like a.
That's a 20, it's
5%. Oh, is it 5%?
No, that yeah. You're thinking of that 10% triple IPA.
Yes. Is that not what it's called?
No, Monkey Minds is 5%.
Okay, then I haven't had that one.
It's really good. It's worth seeking out. And then they had that, like it's called Spud something, which is a hoppy lager.
Sputnik?
But it's like Idaho. It might be Idaho. No, that's the Crest that they did was Idaho 7. Anyway, just a nice, easy drinking lager. But yeah, I'm, you know, for 8%+.
It doesn't taste hot to me. I wouldn't have guessed this was a 7, but this also reminds me of West Coast styles. You know, when you're talking about in Washington, I remember I took the missus out to Seattle, and my biggest complaint was kind of shot me in the foot. When we go to a brewery, and they have 12 beers on tap, and 11 of them are IPAs, and then you have one, it's either a stout or a lager. It's like, fuck, you know what
I mean? I know.
So annoying.
Give me a pale ale.
Because the one time we went to a beer fest, we were at Cedar City at the Policy Kings Fest, and this guy is probably 90 years old. He goes up to me and goes, I want the most bitterest thing you have. And at the time, we had our little cute fruited sour pie beer. And then we had, I believe it was like a Vienna lager or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's a nice, I like that Vienna lager.
It's beautiful. Yeah, that's Derek's baby, a V-twin. You know, strap tank. It's got strap tank name on it. It's pretty cool. That's got in the middle round 4 times. So we're like trying really hard just to break that barrier on that beer. But yep. Anyway, like, I guess the most bitter thing we have is the Vienna lager. And he's like, what's the IBUs on it? We're like, I don't know, between like 23, 28. He goes, no, I'm looking for 40 or higher. Okay, it's all your taste buds are gone, bud. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
If it doesn't burn my gums, I don't want it.
I mean, so, you know, coming back to like double, 10 years ago when double IPAs, I know they were a thing before that, but they really became a thing probably 10, 11 years ago, right? Like those IBUs, we were pushing 80, 90. I can't imagine this is much over 50. And it's just.
I think so, yeah.
This is just enjoyable.
Well, I think what's the human palate can't.
Let's say like 80.
Can't perceive over 80, right?
Yeah, 80.
And so it's
something.
Like, what the hell are we doing this 100 IBU bullshit?
It was good for the hop farms, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was. You should put that back. Let's make a push for it.
Yeah.
Raise the IBUs.
I won't drink it, but it's good for.
If it doesn't melt my gums, I don't want it.
Good for business. Yeah, it is. I mean, looking at stats from the Hop Growers Association, probably about 3 years ago, average per barrel was like 1.55 pounds per barrel. And that number has come down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it came down to 1.5 and it was 1.67 or so, something like that. Guys, I don't have my numbers in front of me, okay?
Liar, this guy's lying. But do you see a decline? So I know we went to CBC and they said that there's a decline in the craft beer scene right now. They see, you know, craft beer is not as sexy and popular as right now. It's kind of steadily declining. Do you see the same trend in the hop world, hop game?
Well, the issue in the hop world is that when that skyrocket that I got to be a part of kind of slowed down, and I'm saying 16, 17, 18, people were contracting way over, and there was a bit of a crash, obviously, in the craft beer world, or a settling instead of giant growth every year. And so there's, at this point, there is a oversupply of hops, okay, somewhere in the 30 million pound range.
Jesus.
So that's a pretty big number. So one thing that we did at Roy Farms, and Roy Farms is probably, we're about, just to average it or round it out, it's about 4,000 acres of hops.
Okay.
And so we we idle. The term is idle. So we just, once once the vines start to come out, we clip them and they'll idle for a season. So we can bring them back next year if needed. But we idled some hops for us with some alpha hops. So most people
What's an alpha hop?
Yeah, so alpha versus aroma. Aroma is what we mostly talk about. Strata, Eldorado, Citra, all of the hops that are the cool, sexy hops. I think that there's some really sexy alpha hops. So alpha is where you're getting your bitterness, right? So still necessary. We don't need to jack up that bitterness like we were talking about a minute ago. But so we were able to idle some of our aroma hops, and we were able to find some empty space to grow some alpha hop. So that's still necessary for certain areas and certain brewers. We still sell a lot to some merchants, and so we're okay. Merchants meaning Haas or Yakima Chief.
Third party then.
Yeah, yeah. And that was our business for a long time. The direct-to-brewer is a fairly new thing for us, and that's kind of why they brought me on, because they want to expand that, just having more people on the streets. So anyway, we didn't cut 20% of our acreage. We did idle some, but we were able to pick some of that back up in the alpha hop growth. Gotcha. Now there's less revenue in that because the aroma hops is what people pay money for. The other stuff is
so as a hop producer or hop grower, how do you guys have to play like this weird glass ball, see into the future what's going to happen? That is so frustrating. I feel like the reason why I wouldn't want to be a hop grower or in the hop industry is because I can't guess what's going to happen.
So I'm learning that for sure.
Yeah.
So one of the early meetings that we had, or that when I was on the team, they're like, hey, we need to get forecasts from brewers of what they think they'll need. And look, I've been talking about forecasts for 15 years, and
yeah.
So,
unless you're going to start a trend, unless you're going to be the
exactly
golden boy for a golden child,
but with a forecast that I need a brewer to give me, the brewer needs to go to the, and I'm talking bigger breweries that are going to really push the needle. You know, a lot of the contracts, like with you guys, it's like, hey, we're going to need 1,000 pounds. Easy. We can work that.
Child's play.
Someone that goes, I'm going to need 40,000 pounds next year and 50,000 the following year. That's a bigger planning. We still factor it all in, but I'm like, well, if we're going to ask a brewer, we're planting in March, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask them in February for what they'll need next February.
Yeah.
they don't.
Well, let's ask.
I don't know.
And if you were to plant something, you have to give it, 3 years until it actually develops into the usable hop all the way.
Sure, and that's where that idling and shifting that.
And that's a pain in the ass, Joe.
Some of that.
Like, I look at you guys, I'm like, Jesus, I don't know. Because all of a sudden, what was it, last year? I think it was the end of last year. All of a sudden, Nectaron was the sexiest, most sought-after hop ever. And if you didn't have Nectaron, go fuck yourself, right? That's what it felt like. And the pressure to use Nectaron was there. But then it's like, now there's a huge demand. What's the next Nectaron going to be?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people have been trying to figure out what the next Citra is going to be, and I don't think we're ever going to find what the next Citra is.
There's your trend.
Strata it fills that a little bit, and it's slightly little more unique. It's not just citrus, but I think there's going to be Strata. There's going to be Nectaron. There's going to be HBC 586. There's going to be Vista. There's going to be. Adina's never going to be that, but like that's a hop.
You want it so bad.
I want it to be in every beer in the world. we have 12 acres of it versus 4,000.
Makes me so happy.
I think we have more than that, but it's not much more.
I will make an Adina beer for you. All right.
Please. Thank you. I have some here in my briefcase.
I'm gonna make
it
sparkly.
I don't have a briefcase.
I'm putting edible glitter in it.
Also, what if I carried a briefcase around? I should start doing that.
and open it up, and there's vials inside. It's chilled, and there's vials inside of it. Yeah, do it.
Plugs into my.
You should. You should. Because you should provide hop samples like that. Open a suitcase, like you have like a Rolodex of hops.
Like if you're looking at me on the other end of the opened briefcase, it's like in a movie where it like glows
it
out.
It shines on you. Yeah, you should do that. But have you ever thought, so the cool thing about Roy Farm, speaking of that, kind of you could do something where you travel with hops or hop samples.
I do it all the time. Yeah.
And because hops, so I feel like in the beer world, oxygen's an enemy.
Sure.
Okay. Even with malt, even with beers, even with hops. And Roy Farms does something really special with their hops, right?
So what we call is farm fresh pellets. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're discussing?
Yes, we're going down that rabbit hole.
All right.
Because we were just in a magazine.
Because we do a lot of special things for our hops.
Okay. But you package certain special
Yes. Work. And so Roy Farms is, you know, B Corp certified, solar powered, salmon safe, trout safe, a lot of things that are environmentally friendly. And so all of that factors into some of our packaging. If you get our hops, it'll say that on the packaging. But one thing we're pretty proud of is our farm fresh pellets. What that means, take away the wet hop talk that we just talked about. So the process is picked, kilned, which is where we're drying, and then we're cooled, and that's big piles in a cooling floor. And it's not temperature controlled. It's just essentially slightly cooler than ambient temperature, probably 70, you know, room temperature.
Consistently moving that though?
No, you try to keep it still. And then from there it goes to our hammer mill and pelletizer. And that process will be less than 36 hours. So picked to pelleted in less than 36 hours. 36 hours or less, ballpark.
Wow.
No baling. Now we do some baling. Do.
You said that.
Yeah. We do some baling. But the majority of our pellets are farm fresh within 36 hours.
And then do you put, was it nitrogen you guys?
Yeah, a little
nitrogen in the air.
Nitro hit and then vacuum them up and store them or ship them right away.
So there's two things I like about the Roy Farms. I mean, well, packaging wise, is I love how they're like these like square sealed vacuum pressed boxes, basically our bags.
Sure.
And then how small the pellets are. I really appreciate because we made. I told you this when we did the collab, and we can go down this rabbit hole. But when we made our Czech Amber, our first ever Czech Amber, we put Czech saws in there, and we're talking like half inch.
Those big pellets, yeah.
Huge ass pellets, and because we did a later edition, a Whirlpool edition, they didn't completely go into the boil, right? They kind of were still stagnant, still
no
there.
No bloom.
And so we were waiting. Anyways, when you guys do the Roy Farm ones, they're always gone. Boom.
Oh.
But I think I like the small pellets, and they're sexy.
Yeah, so there was some design to that. We had, go ahead. Sorry. So the die, our die, is a little smaller than industry standard. And what we found was a little less temperature. Because you are cooling those pellets. I mean, when you're pounding that through, pushing that through dye, there's heat and friction. And so you need it cooled off. And so the less time it was in the dye, which is a smaller dye, so some less temperature, we found that there was an easier breakup and release into suspension or bloom. And so all of that kind of factored in. Having said that, we have talked about some industry standard for a couple partners that prefer it because it meets their equipment needs. So we may offer both. I don't know. We're going through that. I like the small pellets. I mean, you break them apart with two fingers.
Well, yeah, you're trying to sit there and crush with both hands and have people small.
Yeah. Like it's like that.
Yeah.
That is a Roy Farms signature.
Yeah, it's really cool because I remember reading it in, I think it was a Beer and Brewing. I read that article, and that was before I met the team. And then talking to you guys about it, it's like, yeah, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does make sense. So what did you just pour us there, Joe?
That is the Gecko Fingers from Bewilder.
Look at that chill haze.
That's nice, right?
Good clear looking. IPA. What good is looking. This? Right. It's clear. Dump it.
I should have wore my hat.
Make IPAs clear again?
Yes. I was wearing that hat somewhere and someone... like there's a lot of these joke hats that are...
I love them.
Right? Like make this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm wearing it and like not even thinking about it. And this woman was like, oh, that's a nice hat. I don't really know what it means. And she goes, I have a hat that says make America kind again. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a joke. like... I got a stupid beer hat on. But the brewers get the joke. But
yeah, we're like the comedians of the food and beverage world.
That's right. The cheese guys are pretty good too.
Are they now?
Oh yeah.
I have not seen a cheesemonger, and I want to go watch one.
So
live. I've seen one on TV. Right. Whatever.
Well, you mean like cutting the cheese?
You're cutting it and molding it and moving sure. it and all.
So I work with a bunch of cheese reps.
Right.
Not a bunch, but like...
You know them?
Yeah, I know them. And we do like beer and cheese pairings. So they're often referred to as cheesemongers, but the production part is what you're talking about. Did you... Well, mark that down. We'll talk offline.
Okay. I got you.
I'll make sure that they're cool.
I'm so excited.
To talk
about. I'll bring beer.
Well, that's... Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, I love that. This is El Dorado heavy, huh?
Yeah, El Dorado. CTZ, I think there's CTZ, which, you know, CTZ is kind of like, so it's Columbus, Tomahawk, Zeus, CTZ. But it's Columbus is kind of the hop that people know. And that is a bittering hop for sure. It's pretty high alpha. But I think you can get some fun notes from that. But this, you're not... necessarily in this beer. This is the El Dorado.
I haven't had this beer yet, and I think I'm more of a pale, you know, IPA versus a hazy IPA. Like that. I like that. The malt in this one is I like the malt. Not saying the Red Rock was better or worse. I like the malt profile, and it's like it reminds me of the beer we made.
Sure, I'm clear IPA all day.
If sugars aren't in lagers, I don't want them. All right, Lauren Lurch is probably wrong. It's like dying. Lactose should never be in beer. According to purists.
This guy, I don't know.
I gotta make a hat. Lactose and beer, question mark?
Make beer for people who are lactose intolerant again.
Gluten-free beers.
Yeah, fun beer. I really enjoy this.
This is nice. And this is supposed to be an 8.8, right?
Yeah, I was thinking.
8.8.
I had it confused on the ABV. But again, doesn't really drink in that.
It's dangerous. I know people say this all the time, but it's a dangerous beer.
Yeah.
See, I'm getting all the El Dorado. Like, I'm trying to pick out. That CTZ is, maybe it's not a whole lot. And Crystal. Where's the Crystal from?
I don't know. He might have. No, I don't think he got that through me. We do not have Crystal.
I enjoy this one. This is nice.
Yeah.
Well done, Cody and Steven. Have you met Steven?
Yeah. Former Uinta.
Oh, yeah, for a
short
bit.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the best.
He's
a great guy.
I think he's got the most solid mustache in the family. I will say that out loud.
It's pretty good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Who else has a great mustache in our industry? Everyone's got beards or facial hair or goatees.
Who just has a solo stash without like the goatee?
Steven.
It's got to be somebody else.
You look like, you know, Jason Stock's beard's epic. I mean, it's on fucking cans across the world. And then,
sure.
I've always wanted Kevin Templin to grow a mustache. Have you ever seen Kevin Templin with a mustache? I want to see Kevin Templin with a mustache.
I feel like maybe one time, like, you know, Movember or something, you know, like when people do that for, like, awareness.
Are you thinking goatee or just mustache? I want to see just mustache on that cat.
Man. You remember Graham?
Yeah.
He had a sweet stash.
He did. He was twirling it.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Not all the time. I think he comes back to the U.S. here. He was at Harriet Watt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he comes back shortly. Probably maybe September.
He's a good guy.
Great guy.
Really into... Oh, man.
He and I had fun at Uinta.
I bet.
I mean, so many people.
Well, we celebrated, you and I were at the 30-year anniversary.
Oh, yeah, it was a whirlwind.
And it was great. Did you get a tattoo?
I didn't.
Why not?
My body is a temple.
Oh, God.
Look at me.
I'll get a tattoo with you, Joe. Roy Farms. You mean Andy. Let's get a hop.
It'll say Andy.
backwards like I'm Woody's foot.
I never thought about tattoos. I guess I've thought about them, but I never got one.
Hmm.
But the You Went to Party was awesome.
Talk to us about that, because that was special for you, because you were part of that team.
Sure. And I think that the tough part was I couldn't talk to anybody for more than 3 seconds without being pulled to somebody. You know what I mean? I really got to work on saying, you know what I mean.
Or do-do.
Do-do. God damn it. Wait. But yeah, I was like, oh, there's this guy, this person.
Yeah, but everyone was doing that, though.
I know.
It was so exciting.
But I felt bad that I didn't get to talk to, like, anyone meaningfully, you know?
Yeah, I see that. But at the same time, that environment and that vibe was meant to be like that.
Sure.
Right? Because, I mean, I could have sat there and talked to somebody, but you want to go say hi to everyone.
Yeah.
And I that's me. That's my life, dude.
And then half of the people that I worked with a year ago, a little over, were working the event, so they, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But then, did you stay late for that one? Because afterwards,
The U.S. Women's National Team was on that night, so I left. I went home to watch second half of that.
Because of you, I got introduced to a few individuals that were working, and so thank you for that, bridging that gap, and it was really cool to see.
What's funny to me, and I think I introduced because I thought you would get the joke, or not the joke, but get the significance of it. Will Hamill's there, right? He hired me, gave me a couch that was in a back room. I think it's still at the brewery, and I had it at 3 different houses living here in Salt Lake. I slept on it for 6 years. And, you know, he gave me a lot, right? And gave me a great life. So I want to talk to him, but I just grabbed him and said, hey, let's get together in 2 weeks, and we're going to go, you know, get some beers. Maybe a couple other people a smaller group, right? But he brought me here. But one of the first people I ever met was bartending at that event.
Yep.
It was Leisha. And I slept on her couch for about a month before I got a house. And so
And she was so kind.
Oh, she's the kindest human being.
When you introduced me to her, I was like, oh my God, in the story, you're like, I slept on her couch.
Yeah.
This is her. This is the first person I met in Utah. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
It's so weird. And she's like, yep.
Yeah, she's great. And I didn't even really get into the main bar to chat with that team, Cardi, Kylie, and Austin. Yeah. Anyway, I need to go back and just.
So what was it like at that party walking back to your old stomping grounds, your first stomping grounds?
Well, I guess because I've been back there calling on them to buy hops, Ian and Becky, Ian's, driving that, and Murphy's driving the hops they want, but Becky's who I kind of deal with because she's the greatest person on earth. But so I'm back there seeing them, and, you know, the sales team's still my good friends, and the marketing team, you know, Jeremy and Leonard, those guys are, you know, just good buddies. So I see them and play golf or just go have a beer. But when I go back on a Tuesday to call on them or to present something to them, it's like that party. So I want to go see the Russ and the shipping guys and go see Todd and Trent on the packaging line and go up to the brewer's office. Cause when I was there, you know, there's a thing, I think it's called walking, management by walking. And I was not a manager of the production teams or anything at the highest level, but I just would walk around every day and just BS with people.
But that's what makes you so.
It was fun. Light.
You're a bright light, Joe, and that's what makes you, man. That's that sales. I know it's a salesperson's kind of got this weird narrative with it, but you're that individual that can communicate and read people and talk to people and make them feel like they're loved and heard. So that's why you and I think click so well. Because
what'd you say? I didn't hear that.
bastard.
I was looking out the window. But no, thank you, man. And I agree. And you got the same thing, man. And that's why we have fun.
I've dabbled in, like, should I go be a salesman? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
So,
because, like, I like brewing. I love brewing.
Sure.
But
you're good at it.
But I also want to, like, preach all my friends' beers, all of them.
Sure.
Like, if there's a way I can be like, hey, go drink this Ketos beer, go drink this Level Crossing beer, go drink this Desert Edge, you know, like, just do it. But I, at the same time, I have to make my own beer and be like, hey, by the way, try my beer. It's weird.
So, you know, I think in a way you're doing that with this program, mm-hmm. and this touches people, but you touch people on an individual level in that you're always going to be a spokesman for craft beer. And that's what I am. And so there are opportunities career-wise.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a salesman. I never have.
Right.
It's just I'm a representative of something, and I'm going to talk to you about it. I don't sell. I mean, you've seen me talking to people. I don't really sell.
I've never seen you sell anything.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and I'm not trying to be some, you know, esoteric thing.
Woe is me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk. I mean, I want to win. I'm also real competitive, sure. too, and I want to win, and I want everyone to use it, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit, you know? I think we got great stuff, but anyways, that's a sidetrack. You could find something.
I think so, but I guess because...
But you are good at brewing.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, I don't know that I am, because I'm my biggest critic, my biggest judge.
Sure.
But, I mean, you're one of the few people I hugged when I... got that fucking medal.
I didn't even mean to sit up front of that. We're talking about the NABA, but mm-hmm. Up in Idaho. And I sat up there with the Roadhouse crew, who I'm really close with. Fun group of people. And Mikey. Have you met Mikey from Still West?
Yeah. Mikey was there. I love that cat.
He's so good.
He made a great coffee beer. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
He's making some good beers over there.
I need his... we'll talk.
Yes. Put that down. But... I ended up, like, I kind of got late, and I'm like, I'm just hanging the back. And then I sit in the front row.
You're in the front row, right by where Mikey right there was recording, like right there.
I hugged every person that got an award.
I know you did.
So, hey, people I didn't know, I just gave them a hug.
So I want to hear your perspective of when Strap Tank won.
That was awesome, man. You guys came. I stood up, too. I stood up for everybody because, look, dude, I get chills. Like,
me too,
awards,
man.
Awards are awesome.
Sure.
But they don't mean anything.
No.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
And that's what this whole thing is fun. And look, everyone is celebrating all the Utah awards. We're celebrating, maybe I don't want to pick on every state, but we know the Roadhouse guys, or we know the guys from Sockeye. We know the guys from Lewis and Clark. And that's, I just mentioned four states, Arizona, Colorado, and there was, I think Von Ebert won a bunch of awards.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And they, I don't think they had a representative there.
I'm not sure. I can't remember that one.
Anyways, 10 Barrel, you know, like we know mm-hmm. all those guys and gals, and it's an awesome community. Again, we all want to win, and we want our stuff to be in
sure.
people's hands.
Recognized, yeah.
But it's, yeah. So what you guys won, yes. It's awesome.
So my favorite conversation I had was someone came up to me and they said, what was more important to you, or what was more thrilling for you, Utah winning or you winning? And I go, Utah winning, because I'm included in that. Because when every single person in our family won,
sure.
I lost my shit. Watching Jackie and her team win that gold.
Yes.
Lost. When Patrick was the first one to start us off,
yeah.
He was sitting at my table. I hung out with him all week. I love Patrick. And yep. He won. He sat there like, okay. I'm like, go get your fucking award. Let's go. And then you know, when Chasing Tail won, and I mean, TF.
Sure.
I mean, we all winning and like.
Lauren.
Fish. Yeah, the first time on the BrowCon, they won.
Yeah.
And that was huge.
Sure.
And, well, I mean, they won the World Beer Cup, but.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I just lost my shit on everyone.
That wasn't the first time in the BrowCon, but maybe with.
With her on the.
Her running it. Yeah. So, funny story about NABA. When I was 20. So I think I was 23. So it was like 6 months into my career at Uinta. And they're like, hey, there's a beer fest. And I had been to beer fests, right?
Sure.
And they're like, you're going up. I didn't judge it. I didn't judge it till years later. But I'm going up to this festival, and me and two other guys are driving up kegs. And they're like, this was Saturday. They did the awards Saturday morning before the festival started. Like Friday, awful. Friday night was just drinking beers at, you know, people jumping in the pool. Probably 17 people there. I'm exaggerating.
No way.
And we're, and I'm like, I don't even know what the awards were. I do recall that we had a sensory session at UNO on the old conference room table. What should we submit? And, you know, at that point it was barley wine and cutthroat and golden spike. And maybe we had Blue Sky or you went to Club Pills. I can't remember what the pills, but you know, we spit 4, 5, 6, 7 beers and we won 5 medals. And I'm like, this is awesome. And like, this is cool. Like, they're like, you go collect the medal. I'm like, I don't even know where do I even walk? And they're like, right there. The guy's standing right there. You know, and
it's probably Bob.
It was definitely Bob. And then like one of our brewers, this guy, Carl, who used to work in anyone listening and remembers Carl, he's like a fit dude and he had a shirt off. And I'm like, this is just, it was just insanity.
Yeah, pandemonium.
And, but there was, again, 17 people there. And just a great, fun beer fest. And then I did that for the next 16 years of my life. So.
But I look forward to it.
It's fun.
Because I look forward to judging first. And then I look forward to, I don't give a shit about the beer fest. I'm sorry. That's
no,
just me.
I get anymore.
I love hanging out with our, like, the Mikeys and our family, you know, the Ben Edmonds. You know, like, yeah, I want to hang out with all these people. Like, it's just good to connect and say, like, hey, what are you doing nowadays? What's going on? Oh, sure. Well, I figured out this technique. Well, fuck. That's why I like collaborations. And that's why deep down I want to collaborate outside of Utah.
Sure.
But I also want to keep Utah so sacred and so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's fun. I've mentioned to some breweries here and some breweries in Colorado just, that's, and obviously Roadhouse does, they collaborate all over the place.
Oh, Max, I fucking love that guy.
And I get to partner with a lot of that stuff. You know, we did a beer with them and
the collab at Uinta? What was
Oh, that was with Odell.
Odell, excuse me.
But the ones with Roadhouse, it's the B Corp beer. And so last year was with Little Creatures in Atlanta. That's not Little Creatures. I'm screwing that up.
I know what you're talking about. I remember this.
Oh, my God. This is going to make me nuts. Cut this out. anyways, and it was, sorry, Jeremiah, it was a different malt company from Washington and Roy Farms. And we went up. One day they floated the river. I couldn't join for that. They floated a snake. And the next day we fly fished the snake. Just awesome. Great people. And then we brewed a beer, hung out, had fun.
That's how it should be, man. The lifestyle you were talking about. Like, that's what it is in this industry. And we need to keep that sacred.
Sure.
I'm done with the flexing shit. Lately, I've been seeing a lot of flexing. It's like, let's calm down the flexing. Just be. Let's go hang out.
Yeah. And I think with the distribution model settling down to certain brewers, you know, you Strap Tank isn't getting a distribution model. Mm-mm. You got a great tap room, you know? The tap room model is it make those margins, don't waste those margins. And look, the distribution model is what gave me my career. I'm not knocking it. If I started a brewery, I'd have to do it because that's how I know how to do it.
Right.
But I, you know, it's we all have a lane.
Yeah.
We can all make it work.
And the thing is, I'm seeing lately, everyone wants to be like, they throw on a party or an event or a celebration or a celebratory, whatever. And they all want to be supported. But then when the chips are down, when others are saying the same thing, they're not supported. So, like, if you want support, go show support.
Sure. That's good. Yeah. And that's good to keep in mind because I can't get to everything either. You know, I try to get to as much stuff.
Tough. Yeah. I remember even when you were a brewer, it's like, I got to visit my brewery friends, but like, damn, I want to go home, take care of my family.
Sure.
Like, shit, I can't. I'm done. I've been speaking beer for 8, 10 hours, 12 hours. I'm done. Fuck you. I totally get it.
I got to coach. Lacrosse.
Sober.
So one time I was coaching lacrosse before I had kids at Juan Diego. That's a Catholic school down south. My buddy was the head coach. I drove you into box truck to practice.
Stop.
The kids, everyone knew, the families all knew, but I would move goals in the Uinta box truck.
That makes me so
I don't know if Will and Steve know that story.
Should we cut this out?
No.
I love it. Okay, we have one last cider we got to try because I want to talk about how beautiful. So Marcio, I love and hate Marcio. Why? Because I'm not Marcio. And Marcio is doing fantastic, fabulous things. In the beer world, he kicked ass. In the cider world now, he's kicking ass. And this is an example of what his brewer mind and scientist mind goes through and puts beautiful hops inside of cider, right? Because Mountain West, when they opened with Joel, I mean, it was great. I loved it. I really enjoyed every second of it. Don't get me wrong. But what Marcio is a magician. He's a witch. He's a warlock. And watching this, I mean, I had just we just opened it, and I haven't put it to my nose, and I can smell it.
Yep.
This is a fantastic version of a dry hop cider.
So obviously worked with, my best beer friend is Kurt from Shades. We grew up about 30 minutes apart and didn't meet until 2010 here in Utah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And, someone said, hey, you should get, he was interested in, kind of getting into beer business. And they're like, I was like, oh, cool. And they're like, he's from Pittsburgh and a Steelers fan. I was like, oh yeah, he's hired. Kind of. And so when he went to Shades, you know, that's kind of when I kind of got to meet Marcio, and they played a little bit. I mean, with some Roy Farms hops, but obviously went and chatted with him. And then when he went to Mountain West, he had to go up to get some juice or some product in, you know, that whole Yakima. And Roy Farms also grows a ton of apples. We don't put it in.
And other fruit too.
Yeah. Berries is big and blueberries and cherries. But he came up to pick something up, and he's like, hey, I want to get some wet hop. And he came by and he got some Strata. Or no, he did Mosaic. I can't remember.
I thought he got Citra.
Maybe it was Citra. Could have been Citra. I can't remember, because it was definitely after you guys had come and a couple of my other customers had come. And long and short, he said, hey, look, got home, and he's like, I use Centennial. I'm like, well, we happen to have Centennial. He's like, well, maybe I could tweak this dry hop recipe. So this is the Cottonwood, and he played around with it. Centennial's still in the mix, but not in this one. This is Citra from us, Strata from us, and it's Lupamax Mosaic.
Yeah.
So that, not necessarily, I mean, it could come from us, but it's probably, I can't call it out. It's fun, man.
I can't believe it.
Still real dry.
It's that. As a beer connoisseur, as a beer drinker, as a beer maker, like you get that beautiful hop. Like this to me, in the hop world, this is how hops can bridge the gap between cider and beer right here.
Sure.
This is a great example of it.
And I mean, this is 5%, right?
6.9.
Dear God.
Cider's dangerous. They can be dangerous.
I screwed up every one of these ABVs. This Strap Deck beer is like 16%. I'd say.
You're not wrong.
This water is 8.
I mean, I love that nose, man.
It's really nice.
Like, I want to make a candle. You should tell Andy, let's make a candle company with hops. All right? Roy Hop Farms candles.
Have you seen those, like, candles? It's like for Mother's Day. And it's like it says on there, like, you're at least you got one good son. Love, David. Like a, yeah. we could do like that.
The funny ones,
like,
yeah.
Stupid stuff on, yeah, there.
I like this idea. We have a lot of collabs we could do there. Because, like, let's say you can't push the hops of this year or whatever. I know what to do with them.
Sure,
let's put them in some candles. We'll talk.
We're gonna be good. We're hitting contracts on a couple. Like a contracted amount on a couple hops, you know, Centennial, Amarillo, which are both kind of coming back, which I love.
Bring back Simcoe. I want Simcoe back.
Dude.
I miss Simcoe, man.
Simcoe, it's one of my favorites.
It's like dying off, dude.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. I love Simcoe.
I can't. I don't have access to it.
Well, figure that out, Joe.
Talk to the people that have the rights.
I guess I will. But, Joe, I mean, what's some goals you have still for Roy Farms, or as a, you know what, what's some goals you have in the fermentation industry that you haven't met yet?
I probably touched on that a little bit with wanting to be like every brewer that I have in my realm. That's weird. But every brewery that I have where I go, if you need something, call me.
Yeah.
And I just want, I want that. Yeah, we want to get Roy Farms hops in as many beers as possible. I think we have really good stuff, really consistent. That's 117 years of harvest under our belt. First crops that were planted on this farm were hops.
Call me when you get 120, then I'll come.
Okay. Well, all right, we'll have a party. We'll give you blueberries.
Thank God. I'll put that in a beer.
A good partner down in Arizona, Arizona Wilderness, just bought about a ton of blueberries from us.
And you were telling me that, yeah.
Yeah, so that if you haven't checked that brewery out, definitely do next time you're there. Great stuff. Really cool brewery. It's so new. A lot of people have heard of us, but have not used our stuff.
Yeah.
Because they might have through buying from Haas or Yakima Chief or some other third party. But with the direct business, I just want to be in every brewery.
So what can we do as a family to help you, Joe, as the sales or as a individual in Roy Farms or in life in general, man?
Just call me. People know how to get a hold of me. And I think I'm out and about too, so but if I haven't come seen you, I've missed you.
Yeah. And what's something that I know you we're talking about these this lifestyle we have in the fermentation industry. It's these memories we create, these always, like, I feel like it's always a celebration for something.
Sure.
So how do you keep yourself in check, give yourself self-love?
Ice baths.
For real.
I just said that because you and Jaren.
Amy. That guy is crazy.
And I do it to some level, but not that level. I do love it. So sorry I said that.
Don't be sorry. He'd love that.
It's awesome.
Yeah, Jaren's the best.
I'm going to see him next week. I don't know, man.
You should know. It's your life, dude.
I check. One really good thing I am good at is checking out and being like, hey, this is my time to be with the family, go play golf, ski.
Fly fishing.
I fish a ton, but this year, that was the first trip I went on, yesterday. And because my boy has been playing a ton of golf, so I play with him and some other buddies. And I'm not busy. I don't want to say that, but we do have a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, and with my fam, but yeah, man. You mentioned something to me about like ultimate aspirations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of touched on this, and maybe this is what we have to do. The golden era in the beer rep world, I would say, is 2015 to 2018, right?
Sure.
So I always wanted to open this. It doesn't really exist, but maybe we can make it work. Is a bottle shop. Because that's where that education comes. And you and I know every beer in town and Colorado and Arizona and border states, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. I know Montana's not a border state, but and we have it. And those people that ran those shops in that time, and that shop doesn't necessarily exist that much anymore. That was the education.
Yeah.
And that's what people would come in and be like, hey, what we just did here, these four beers we just drank while we were BSing, I that was like my dream, is to open that shop. And it may still happen.
I think so.
But because you're open from noon to seven, you can have a beer in the shop, or you just buy in a couple beers to go.
Yeah.
I've been to every one of those bottle shops, I think, in the country that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
Exaggeration. But those were my favorite.
But think about it, man. You can find things you can't find anywhere else.
Yes.
And and the individual pouring that for you will be passionate. 100% of the time. Like, yeah, exactly. Oh my God, I learned about this. Like, you got to learn about this.
And that exists in on-premise world. I mean, we could name four places that are just to my left here, if not six, but it's the breweries that are doing it. And and I don't fault the brewery, but they're not going to sell 10 other beers, you know, or 20 other beers. But that one-stop shop that allows for you to check out a Bewildered beer and a Strap Tank beer and a seltzer, a cider or a seltzer and a beer from Cannonball Creek in Golden, Colorado.
Yeah.
Or, you know, our mutual friend who is a great brewery and a good mutual friend of a lot of us.
Yeah.
Odell. I mean, well, I could name some of them. I guess some. But yeah, like that place is a mini beer fest every day. But people take home and drink it on their own, or they have it with you there.
But once you learn about that, you want to purchase more product, or you're going to be like, yeah, I want to take them all home, and I want to do it to my own friends and family.
Sure.
Right?
And that's what it was, you know? And so I'm trying to figure out how to do that again. I know that model isn't exact, but we're going to figure it out.
We will. Joe, thank you so much for sitting down with me today. Thanks for being a dear friend, man. Thanks for, like,
you too.
Open arms every time I every see time. You. Like, I appreciate you. And, dude, if you need anything, though, you let me know.
Thanks, man.
If there's anything I can do to help you, I mean, I'm right here, man. I don't know what I can do, but I will do it. And thanks for being you, man.
Awesome.
Always.
Thank you. And thanks, Fram.
Until the next beverage, huh? Cheers.
Salud.
Been another episode of the Tastemasters. Find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, Twitter at @the_Tastemasters, or on Facebook as the Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, DM us for any questions, or leave a review. Tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.